The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Thank you for joining the show today. Leadership. We all know leaders, be it in politics, industry, the arts, or elsewhere, and we can almost instantly categorize them as positive or negative, stimulating or rehearsed, original or banal, trustworthy or corrupt. The qualities a leader possesses dictate not only the quality of the people who follow him, but also the route, value, and duration of the journey. You've heard me many times in this program say that leadership is a concept, not a person. It becomes a physical entity when one chooses to embody the characteristics of leadership in a way that they influence, motivate, teach, and train people and organizations to emulate their own example. My guest today is a person with great knowledge on this subject. Dr. Steve Gladys is the CEO of Steve Gladys Leadership Partners, a leadership development firm focused on helping executives and their teams achieve both success and significance through executive coaching, leadership development, and motivational speaking. The author of 18 books on leadership and communication, Dr. Gladys researches, writes, and works in all areas of leadership. As part of the George Mason University faculty, he teaches both leadership and communication courses through the Office of Continuing Professional Education, and he is an executive coach for the University of Virginia Darden School of Business Executive MBA program. Previously, Dr. Gladys served as an associate dean and the director of the university's Northern Virginia Center, was a career FBI special agent, served his country as a decorated U.S. Marine Corps officer, and it is my pleasure to have him as my guest today. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. It's great to have you here.
Well, thanks for letting me be here today. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I love the work that you're doing about transferring leadership from the boardroom to the home, to the parenting. I think it's just a great concept.
Thank you. It's the boardroom to the living room.
I like that better. Yeah.
As I often refer to it, but it's something that works. I mean, we're going to talk about a whole lot of that in the show today. But skills that you use at the office are the same that you use at home, and the other way around. I know a great number of professionals who will give credit to their children for having them become who they are today as successful leaders, and I happen to be one of them. I know your daughter. She was a guest on this program way back when, a couple of years back when I started, and I can definitely tell you that she credits you for that as well. So, having said that, let's talk about positive leadership. I know you've written a book about it, but as a concept, it has to be a lot more fun and be more productive to work with a positive leader than a negative one, hasn't it?
Yeah, Chris. Interestingly, a couple of years ago, I got very interested in this concept because I had I was coaching people who were coming to me, some of whom were working for bosses that they really liked, and others that were working for bosses they just couldn't stand, and were really trying to figure out what their next step was. And I started to look at, you know, this level of this idea of happiness, and then eventually positivity, what that means. What I did is I don't do original research anymore. I used to do it, but I don't, because I don't have a bunch of graduate students. But what I do is I read research, and then kind of do an analysis for laymen, for businessmen, so that they don't have to read all that stuff. So what we did for a couple of years is we researched the researchers on this topic of happiness and eventually positivity. And the distinction that we make is that happiness are those day-to-day things that make you happy, like a good cup of coffee on a cold morning, or a good run, or things like that. But over time, it creates a vector. Some people have a positive vector, and other people have a negative vector. I think you've probably seen that in your work.
Exactly. When you say vector, are you speaking of a general direction?
Exactly. So think of happiness as being day-to-day weather, as an analogy, and think of positivity as being the climate in the area. So the climate for some people is over a period of time. We're talking weeks, months, years. The climate for some people is positive, and the climate for other people is kind of negative.
Correct.
Yeah. So we looked at that and started to see some of the correlations, and the correlations are pretty obvious to many people now. But positive leaders retain employees much longer, and that's not a trivial matter. One of the statistics that sits out there is that if an executive for a major company, when he or she turns over, it costs that company in total impact about $2.7 million. So it's not a small amount of money. It's usually five, sometimes 10 times salary, even for lower paid employees.
Is that computed? That cannot just be computed on a person's compensation. I'm sure it's lost productivity and gearing up the learning curve and so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's total impact. It's what happens to clients who drop off. What happens to teams that become disenchanted? I'm just dealing with one CEO that one team over the last 2 years has had three leaders. They are completely demoralized now. They're unproductive and demoralized. So the turnover rates are not trivial matters. My point was, and so, you know, it's we look at gross revenues and things like that. Almost every scale that you can measure, positive leaders score better, statistically significantly better than neutral or negative. And we started to take a look at that and say, geez, this seems to be a really important thing. And so that's where my reading started, and that's where my research started. And what we found out were there are some basic ideas that came out of that, and there were three major findings, if you will. I don't know if you want to talk about some of those.
Yes, let's talk about that. What the findings were, and for the benefit of our listeners, let's just focus or cascade this down to what makes one a positive leader.
Okay. First of all, let me give you just a tiny bit of background, and then I'll give you that answer. Okay.
Please.
Sure. So first of all, there's been a bunch of research by a woman named Sonia Libermersky out of University of California, who says that basically 50% of your happiness set point, which leads to positive, 50% of your set point of happiness is comes from your heredity, from your parent. You actually inherit it from your parents. 10% of it comes from everything that happens to you in life. Which kind of amazed me when I found that figure out. I could get the inheritance part, but the 10%, no matter what you go through, only 10% is credited to your level of happiness, which leads to your positivity sort of vector. But 40% is completely under your control. So if you think of how big 40% really is, it's a real game changer, which is the reason we call the book, Positive Leadership, the Game Changer at Work. This idea of 40% is the same 40%, if you will, that swings elections most of the time. Mm-hmm. So that whole notion was one of the things that sort of stimulated me into digging deeper and deeper into this thing. And the impact that leaders have, one of the other pieces we found as a basic insight, was that leaders have what's called emotional contagion. So, for example, if you come in a bad mood and you're a leader, everybody around you kind of scurries for the doors. If you come in a good mood, they have a very different reaction to you because people catch their emotions from their leaders, as you well know.
Absolutely.
Right? And that contagion kind of spreads throughout an organization pretty fast. So what we began to find is that we looked at what are the three, we found actually three big areas, Chris, and I'll go through them individually, and we can interrupt me at any time, please. But the three big areas that we found that created positive leaders were, one, people who were highly socially networked, had deep social networks, were the happiest people, and I can go into each of these in a second. Secondly, people who worked in their strengths areas every day of their work, and a promise of their day was done in their strengths areas, and people who actually practiced certain positive activities, both psychological and physical. Those three areas, highly socially networked, using their strengths networks, and actually practicing positivity, and we can talk about what that all means. But those are the three areas that created positive leaders. They literally created positive leaders.
And so the social network is, I guess, what the word means, you know, the people around you. The strength areas are those how good you are at your work, how applied you are at your work.
Yeah, applying your strengths.
And then practicing positive activities that would be enjoying your life, what it is that gives you pleasure.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more too. So let me address those individually, okay?
Let's address the first one. We have about a minute before the break, and then we'll continue with the rest after the break.
Let's start. Right. The first one is social network, and what they're talking about there is having being able to come back from being injured psychologically. So what it means is that you have sort of the healthiest people have a strong firewall around them of very close personal friends and family, so when they get a body blow, they have somebody to lean on. And developing that network depends upon your interactions with those other people. So we have some formulas and some research to tell you what that actually looks like. But essentially, it's think of yourself in the middle of a room and something happened to you. If you were to fall over psychologically a little bit, would somebody be there to catch you? That's called resilience. Resilience to bounce back from the fall. Like, who would you call if something really went bad in your life? Those people, if you have several people around you, the more people you have around you that you could call and would call, the more resilient that you are and the ability to bounce back.
So how strong is the net, so to speak?
Yeah, that's basically right. Yeah, exactly.
That would support you. Let's talk more about that on the other side of a short break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. My guest is Dr. Steve Gladys. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Dr. Steve Gladys. Please visit his website, stevegladysleadershippartners.com, and follow him on Twitter at Steve Gladys. That is STEVEGLADIS. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com, or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before the break, we were speaking about what makes one a positive leader. And there were three elements, three aspects to it. The strength of your social network, the strength of your competency, if you will, in your work area, and the practice of positive activities. And Steve explained to us what the strength of the social network means. And in short, it means how strong is your support system. If you're dealt a blow, how many people are going to be there to catch you and help you put the pieces back together? So let's go on from there.
Yeah, Chris. So as part of that, there's a guy named Marcel Losada who's done a lot of research on the interactions of people, both positive and negative. And Losada developed a thing called Losada's Line. And the best way to explain that is that if you have one positive interaction with a loved one or a colleague at work, for example, one positive interaction to every one negative interaction. And Losada actually had graduate students counting these interactions. So if you had a good interaction with somebody and then later on had a negative one, they would formulate these ratios. But a one-to-one positive to negative ratio of interactions with somebody else, you might think, is a pretty neutral kind of relationship. In fact, it's not. It's actually, that relationship is actually heading slowly but surely for a divorce court. And that surprises a lot of people, but what the research has shown is that it takes a 2-to-1, 2 positive to 1 negative interaction to have basically a neutral relationship with somebody, because people see negative things as far more impactful in their lives than positive ones. And that's sort of, you can sort of parse that out when you think about annual reviews. You can have 8 or 10 things that your boss thinks is great, but it's the 1 or 2 things he doesn't think are so great that you dwell on and you actually ruminate over. So negative stuff causes us to ruminate a lot more than positive stuff. A 3-to-1 ratio points the arrow north into the positivity zone. It takes 3-to-1 positive to negative interactions to really point that vector north. And Chris, if you're married, it's 5-to-1.
Really?
So, and every time I say that in audiences, business folks, audience, everybody kind of groans, like, what? You know, 5-to-1, really? You know, yeah, it's 5-to-1. And the guy who did research on that is a guy named John Gottman, who was at the University of Washington for many, many years. He's actually called the Love Doctor. He was made sort of famous in Blink, the book Blink, by Malcolm Gladwell.
Right.
And Gottman has studied marriages over the years and has really had some amazing findings. I wonder if I could give you a couple of those.
Please do.
Okay. So what Gottman found out was there were four things um, that that destroy a marriage. Okay? He calls them the four horsemen of apocalypse. I guess it's a biblical reference, but it's a... the four were the following. Number one was criticism. If you attack your partner's personality or character with the intent of kind of making him wrong and you right, like, oh, you always do this, you never pick up your underwear on the floor, you know, that kind of stuff. When you sort of make the other person lesser, when you attack the person and not the activity, that creates a negative feedback system, a defensiveness that comes about and so forth. So what the recommendation is, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner kind of thing, you know. Say when you do this, when you don't pick up your socks, or when you leave a wet towel on the bed. This is beginning to feel a little autobiographical. But anyway, when you say that, then the other person doesn't feel it's personal. It's just it's an activity. When you do that, I feel this way, right?
That's a
better way to go than to criticize the person.
It's a fact.
Criticism is number one. Contempt is the second one. When you actually attack the other person, say you are a jerk, or when you start name calling. That's very, very divisive in a relationship. In fact, the contempt can get you to divorce faster than anything I know. Defensiveness is the third one. So it's this criticism, contempt, defensiveness. When you can't take criticism, or you always push back anytime somebody tries to give you feedback, after a while they don't want to give you feedback. They don't want to deal with you. You know?
Correct.
And the last one is stonewalling, when somebody just refuses to engage. Which is like when they say to you, "Oh, whatever you want," or they just say, "Okay, fine," or whatever, you know, those kinds of things. Or they just remove themselves and say, "Look, I don't want to talk about that anymore," especially when it's something that's critical and needs to be reported on. Just one other quick story I want to tell about John, because I think this is such a cute and such a powerful story. He was interviewed by the Harvard Business Review, and the person writing the article says, "You've been doing this stuff for 4 years." Dr. Gottman, what's one single piece of advice I can take home to strengthen my marriage? And Gottman said this, and I think it's absolutely brilliant. He said, think of a big salt shaker with yeses, all, you know, full of yeses. And every time your spouse comes to you and says, go out for dinner, you say, sure, let's go. So you say yes to everything. Even when it's just, yes, let's discuss it. You don't have to necessarily do everything. You just have to be willing to talk about it. For example, somebody says, let's sell a house. You say, yes, let's talk about that. You don't have to agree to it. You just have to agree to talk about it. And I just thought that was such a brilliant piece of advice. And I tell that to as many folks as I can now, because it really changes the way people come at life. For example, my dad was a no guy. And every time I had to work with him, you always had to start from no. And it was such an uphill battle. We've all worked for people like that. We've all been around them, and it's just much more difficult. But that's kind of what Gottman brought to the table. And I think those numbers, those ratios, are haunting for some people. But once they know them, they get sensitive to how they talk to people. So let me stop talking, Chris.
Exactly. And I am quite familiar with Gottman's work. My sister-in-law is a family therapist, and she regularly attends seminars by him because they are incredibly helpful. And what you have just said very much validates my concept, which is things that work at home work in the business world as well, and the other way around. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. And nobody wants to be ignored. Nobody wants to be criticized. Contempt really has no place anywhere. We've all have seen people become very defensive, where you just shut down because when you want to give them valuable critiquing, they mistake the critique as criticism. And of course, the stonewalling being the final step, which is, you know, I'm shut down. Say whatever you want to say. I'm done. I'm not listening.
Yeah.
So it is really a concept that works with equal clarity and value, both in the business world as well as at home. So We talked about the strength areas and the like. Tell me about the practice of positive activities.
And
that is doing something physical or psychological?
Sure. So let me talk about that, and then maybe later we could talk about a little bit about work. There's a little bit more about work we could talk about, but let me talk about those positive activities because I think they're really worth chatting about. So there are a number of positive emotions, if you will, that have been quantified and studied, largely by Barbara Fredrickson out of the University of North Carolina and others. She's not the only one, but she's really well known for the work on it. And I've reviewed some of her books, and she's just does great work. Can't recommend her enough to people. There are about 10 of these, but let me just bring up the three or four that might be worthwhile hearing. The first one is gratitude. And now the work, the research specifically done on this was done by Marty Seligman at the University of Pennsylvania, and it was on depressed patients. They tested a group of depressed patients, people who were fairly seriously depressed, and on medication and so forth. And they began to they had them do an experiment. And the experiment was simply this, and I hope that all the listeners that are listening to this, write this one down. This is the one. If you do nothing else as a result of this call, you do this, your life will change. It really will. And here it is. It's very simple. Every night, before you go to bed, and before his patients went to bed, they wrote down three things that went well that day. Sometimes it's called the Three Blessings Journal. So, depending on how religious you are or not, you could just write down three things that went well. Those three things that went well could be very simple things. It could be I had a hot cup of coffee this morning. I had a nice drive to work. I took a walk at lunch. It doesn't have to be grandiose. You do this every night. They did it every night for 15 days, not weeks, not months, 15 days. In 15 days, they saw statistically significant changes in those people. Now, Chris, I've got to tell you, I have been doing this now for almost 2.5 years, I think it is. I have a bunch of notebooks filled up. I do it every night. I have this a little ring notebook, a small 3x5 kind of notebook in my medicine cabinet right under my Lipitor, which I have to take at night, and right next to my toothpaste. And so I have to do this every night. So I just pull them all down, and I take about a minute, maybe, and I write down three things that went well. And I'm sure tonight I'll list this phone call because I certainly enjoy this. I'll list three things, and the difference it has made in my life has been, the only way to describe it, the best way I have described it, is it's like a slow-motion miracle. things have happened in my life in the last couple of years that have just surprised me in ways that I can't even explain. I mean, my business, the growth of my business, my relationship with my wife, all kinds of things have gotten much, much better because of this. I'm sure it's not just this, but it's certainly surrounding this. And I recommend this to everybody that I know. I had two cases to tell you about. One was a guy that was in my seminar from a utility company, and he 2 weeks after I did the seminar, he said he got his wife to do it because I suggest you get your wife and or partners and your kids to do it as well. He got his wife doing it, and she had been an insomniac for years, and he said she's now starting to sleep through the night more often. Not a complete cure, but awfully good, he said. And the second one.
Let me interrupt you there,
yeah,
Steve,
sure.
And take a short break, and we'll come back and talk more about it. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epicu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epicu. My guest is Steve Gladys. Please visit his website, stevegladysleadershippartners.com, and follow him on Twitter at Steve Gladys. Steve, let me ask you to continue from where we were before the break.
Sure. And by the way, for your guests that are listening, may have come in late, we're talking about Positive Leadership, the Game Changer at Work. It's available on Amazon. I just want you to understand that what we're talking about, just not plugging the book so much as if you have questions or things that you want to follow up, there's a lot of information in that in the book. Anyway,
plugging the book is just fine.
Okay, well, I just want to. Sometimes people come in late in the conversation, they miss stuff, and they want to follow up, and so they can find it there.
Perfect.
We were just talking about gratitude, and the only other one I would mention real quick is kindness. They've done a lot of research on kindness, and they found that if you do 3 to 5 things one day a week. That your level of positivity goes up demonstrably. Every Wednesday, I call it Kind Wednesday. I post it on my Facebook and LinkedIn pages. And it's really interesting to see the kind of response it gets. Even now, when I don't do it, somebody says, hey, it's Kind Wednesday. So we tell people, buy a cup of coffee for the guy behind you in line, send some flowers to a friend or a shut-in. There's all kinds of things you can do. I've done all sorts of things, sent flowers to my doctor's office, bought coffee for the guys that work on my car. It gets to be kind of a fun thing, but it really makes a big difference. So kindness and gratitude, and there are others, but I just wanted to mention those two.
And that does work. So
yep.
If you go to Steve's website, which again is stevegladysleadershippartners.com, you'll find, in addition to his book, Positive Leadership, which is available on Amazon, you'll also find right there a section called Positive Leadership. If you click on that section, you actually go to something called a Positive Leadership Score. And you can score yourself, find out where you score, rather, on those three elements, the relationship, work, and activities. And I must confess here that I could not resist the temptation. Mm-hmm. So I just took the test myself, and I scored, I took my score, and I kind of had a smile on my face, I must say.
Good for you.
You can't go wrong if you just want to see how it is that you stack up. It will probably take you less than 5 minutes, and you will have something you didn't have before. So we kind of brushed over the work element. There were a couple of other things you wanted to mention. We did justice to the relationship and activities. I'm not sure that we did justice to the work. Did we miss anything there?
Just real quickly. If you use the research found that if you use your strengths most of the day at work, you're a much happier camper than if you're working in an area that is not your strength. It seems to make intuitive sense, but there are a lot of people who work jobs that they just that are just not the kinds of stuff that they. For example, I hate detail. I hate. I just can't. I'm not good at it. I'm dyslexic. I got all kinds of issues that way. So if you put me in a detailed job all day long, I would be bonkers by the end of the week. So what I have to do is work at a job where I'm teaching, where I'm researching, where I'm reading, where I'm. And as long as I'm doing that, and that's what I do now all day long, I'm a very happy guy. So yep. Working in those things, and there are assessments you can take. There's the Myers-Briggs type indicator. There's strengths finders. There's a thing called DISC. There are all kinds of instruments out there that are very good. And I suggest to my clients taking a couple of those and then giving the results back to me so we can talk about them. But if there's an 80-20 rule. You should be spending 80% of your day doing what you're really good at and only 20% of it doing stuff you have to do.
That 80-20 percent rule is it's something that applies to just about everything I know, and I want to come back to that. But let's take a couple of emails that have come in from our listeners. This comes from David in Baltimore, Maryland. He says, "Dr. Gladys, what is positive leadership, and how can leaders assess whether they are positive leaders or negative leaders, other than, of course, going to your website and taking that that score? How would you answer that?"
Well, I would say. The best way to know if you're a positive leader or not is whether or not people are trying to work for you or they're trying to get out from under you. it is really a litmus paper test. The positive leaders attract people to them. They're the kind of divisions or sections or whatever you might call them, or units in companies that everybody's trying to get into, trying to apply for or get into. Negative leaders, you have a very high turnover rate. Whenever you have, in fact, one of the diagnostics that we use, it's pretty simple, is when people have problems with retention, we try to pinpoint which particular units have difficulty retaining people, and usually it comes back to the leader. And so that's one way of finding out whether you're positive or negative. Another way is to take the thing right online, and in 5 minutes you'll have an indicator. It's not perfect, but you'll get an indicator. And then, you know, if you really want to know, have a 360 evaluation done of yourself.
Another question comes from Elizabeth in Wilmington, North Carolina. She says, "Can a negative leader truly learn to change to a positive and inspiring leader?"
Yeah, they actually can. And I've actually seen that. You get what you focus on. So if you focus on losing weight, you'll actually lose weight. If you focus on being positive, you'll actually get more positive. There's a thing that we tell people, get very intentional, and that means focused on and responsible for and accountable for. Get intentional about things that matter. Have people, a lot of people, the way they do that is have other people feed back to them, either anonymously, there's ways of doing that, either anonymously or indirectly. Say, I would tell people, say, look, when I'm being negative, point it out to me. Tell me when I'm being negative. I'm not Mr. Happy all the time. I can tell you that. I mean, I would be lying to you if I told you that. Just ask my daughters. Sometimes I can get negative, and I want to get that sort of feedback from people saying, "Hey, listen, you're kind of dragging this into the mud here," because we all can spiral down if we let ourselves. And the trick is to have people around you remind you, when you're in that state.
Very true. And the next question comes from Ken in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. He says, "Dr. Gladys, in your experience, what has been the success rate of those leaders that have consulted with you to make positive changes? What has been their greatest challenge?"
The greatest challenge, I think, is working for a difficult boss. Or the leader, let's call it the boss-leader relationship. You know, when you work for, I'm using the term boss as somebody who's above you.
Right.
Just as a way of distinguishing it. When you work for a difficult or a negative boss, it's a really hard, hard, hard life to lead. It's like being in a bad romance. It leads to divorce. It leads to one of the two of you leaving, and usually the person with the least amount of power is the one that ends up leaving. And I tell people that, you know, if you're in that kind of a relationship, the chances of you turning that guy around are pretty hard, especially if he's not even aware of it. Most of this revolves around a lack of self-awareness by people. But, you know, if you're in that kind of relationship, I'm not sure that hanging around for any length of time makes a lot of sense.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you can't change other people. You can only change how you respond to them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's true in everything, and you can change yourself, but you cannot change others. You've done an awful lot of coaching at the Darden School at UVA, and you do it professionally. Do you find that there is a direct correlation with a person, a leader, a boss, a manager, mm-hmm. who that leader is a positive leader when they're also a coach, when they are engaging in coaching techniques and activities?
Sure. Yeah, it's funny you mention that, Chris. I just spent an hour and a half with one of my clients this afternoon. Works for a very large company, and we were talking about what's called, I wrote a book called The Coach Approach Leader, where actually teach all my clients how to coach. I not only coach them, but I teach them how to coach themselves, because coaching is all about asking questions, not about getting answers, right?
Right.
That's what coaching is. It's just about getting people to identify their issues, getting people to identify options, and getting them to identify their intentions moving forward. That's all coaching does. And it's everything coaching does. It's a great system. I cannot recommend it high enough. But in that book, The Coach Approach Leader, we teach leaders how to do that, and I do a lot of workshops around that. I do probably 30, 40 of those a year, teaching people how to coach. And those people, when people become less command and control, Chris, and mm-hmm. much more ask and inspire, their whole outlook changes, and their impact changes demonstrably inside the workplace. I've watched this happen on many, many occasions. Too many to count, really.
It's more of a team approach. It's
yeah.
asking somebody, and oftentimes, you know, the simple things that happen. You have a meeting with a supervisor, and you have people reporting to you. Now, people are not stupid. They know that if you have a meeting with a supervisor, something is going to happen that you will learn something, you'll be told something, there'll be a directive, a change, something that will have to flow downstream upon them. Most middle managers, what they will do is they will go to the to their meeting with the supervisor and then stay silent after the meeting. Mm-hmm. People don't know. And in the face of uncertainty, they take different directions, and that's oftentimes when they head for the doors.
Yep.
So teamwork and communication is the key to averting an awful lot of disasters. Let's talk more about that and a whole bunch of other things after the a short break. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
News, opinion, passion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Steve Gladys. His website is stevegladysleadershippartners.com. And on Twitter, he is Steve Gladys. On the website, you will also find information about his latest book, Positive Leadership, and you can get that book from Amazon. So one of my favorite sayings that, not surprisingly, I saw it right on the homepage of your website, comes from Maya Angelou, and it says, when you learn, teach. When you get, give.
Yeah.
And to me, all of that means reciprocity, means paying it forward, means thinking outside of your own self and not demanding things you're not willing to give. So if respect is what you want, you've got to give respect to others. It does not come to you magically or because you're older or wiser or whatever it may be. To what degree is reciprocity an important factor in business?
Well, it's critical. There's a guy by the name of Bob Cialdini that has done research on persuasion over the last 30 years. I've taught his book for 30 years. And he has six different elements that are persuasive, things that persuade people to do things. And right at the top of those is reciprocity, Chris. So it's great that you sort of brought that up, because reciprocity is you get what you give, and so give first is what we tell our clients. So it's simply this. I had a guy once say to me, we were coaching, he said, you know, I'm not getting the information from my underlings that I need for people that report to me. And I said, well, how much information do you give them? For example, after you have a meeting with your boss, do you go right back and have a meeting with them? Or do they find out information from other leaders, from the grapevine, from other people? And he kind of blushed a little bit and said, you know, really, I really don't communicate as much as I should. I said, well, the more you communicate with them, the more likely they are to communicate with you. And he started sort of changing his way of doing things, and that really changed his relationship. So if you're a leader and you want respect, you've got to give it first. If you're a leader and you want information, you better be giving information.
Absolutely. And respect and everything, reciprocity, mm-hmm. Goes hand in hand with trust. And
yeah,
many books have been written about trust. You wrote a couple of them. Another guest that I had on the show, Ken Blanchard, wrote one. And trust, obviously, whether it is at home or whether it is at work, is an indispensable part of what it is that we do, what it is that we give, and what it is that we get.
Yeah.
I know that you talk about three components of trust. In the next 2 or 3 minutes, can you just tell us about what those components are and how they interrelate with one another?
Sure. I can certainly do that. It's funny that you mention Ken, because he definitely endorsed one of my books, and I'm not sure, I don't have it in front of me, but he endorsed one of the books, and I think it was The Trusted Leader. Anyway, to talk about what you mentioned. So what we found out with trust was that we developed a thesis based on Aristotelian logic and other things that trust had three components. We call it the trust triangle, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And it has three components. Number one, character. You have to have, so let's call it the three C's. You have to have good character. That means you have to have, in order to be a trusted leader, you have to have character. That means you've got to have, you got to be honest. You have to be able to communicate. You have to have courage to speak up. Things like that. You got to be consistent. So it's all about character at the base. If you look at the triangle, think at the base, it starts with character. If you look at one of the sides of it, it's about competence. See, competence goes not, it's not only personal competence, but competence of others. Do you know yourself? Are you self-aware? You'll be amazed at how many people are not self-aware, meaning that they think they come across one way, but people who work for them say something quite different, and oftentimes more negative. Knowing the self, knowing others, knowing your profession really well, and knowing how to acquire and disperse new information. That knowledge component, that competence component is a big component. But Chris, the third component is actually the one that gets people in the most hot water. And that third component is caring for other people. And it's not that leaders don't care, it's just that they don't often express it. They're not demonstrative about it. Caring about other people, caring about yourself, staying true to your values, the sort of integrity, caring about the community around you, not just your work, and caring about really the world at large. Leaders who care for people as individuals, and not just cogs in the wheel of their company, and care about their company and their community, those leaders are the ones that have the highest and most respect of anybody, and the most trusted, interestingly enough. So those three are the big components: character, competence, and caring.
And as you say, they're interrelated, but each one of those sides stands on its own.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
In the next 2 minutes, I want to have your words of wisdom, if you will, of what to do, what a good leader can do to become a better leader.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say a few things. This comes a little bit from the work of Dan Goleman and Richard Boyatzis out of Case Western, where I just saw the other day. Richard and I have spoken together at conferences, but I've had the joy of seeing him again up in Cleveland. He's a great guy. He's done a tremendous amount of work in this. First thing I would say is get to know yourself better. Get more self-aware. Try to get feedback from other people about how you come across. Secondly, work on your emotions. Leaders who have their emotions in control and don't have highs and lows, but are kind of moderated, generate the most goodwill. So first, know yourself and manage your own relationships, your own emotions. And then second, get empathetic with other people. Get to know other people's strengths and weaknesses. Understand how they operate and use them in places where they're the strongest, not where they're the weakest. And learn how to regulate your relationships with multiple groups. And leaders who can talk to people in grade school, or could talk to scientists, or who can deal with all kinds of relationships, no matter who they're dealing with, can deal with them well and fluidly, tend to be the most successful leaders. These are things that come out of emotional intelligence. And Dan Goleman, in fact, one of the things I would highly recommend, Dan does a talk at a Google talk on emotional intelligence. It's about an hour long, but it's a fabulous talk. So if you'll just put Daniel Goleman, Goleman, and Google talk, you'll see his speech. It's really great. I recommend looking at Google talks, and I recommend looking at TED talks. And I'm sure you've seen some of those before, Chris.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I highly recommend those talks.
Thank you so very much for your time and your energy and all that you have contributed today. I know I've learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners have as well. And I hope we have the opportunity to get together again at some future point.
I look forward to it, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope that you all join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thank you. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.